Oi, oi, and welcome to a very special edition of the Orient Outlook podcast. We are honoured to have a very special guest with us. He signed for the O's on the 9th of September 2011 and made our lives complete. He made his professional debut for Charlton during the 96-97 season and stayed at Charlton until 2007 despite loan spells at Gillingham, Reading, QPR, Norwich and Derby. His best moment for Charlton was his hat-trick, I guess, against Liverpool in 2003. He joined Colchester in August 2007 and scored 17 goals in 2007-2008, but it was a relegation season and Ipswich triggered his release clause and he joined them in July 2008 for $600k. He rejoined Colchester on loan in 2009 and scored in the famous 7-1 win at Norwich and scored 13 goals in the 09-10 season. Following season, signed a season-long loan deal at Millwall but had an injury-ravaged season, scoring 4 goals. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, O's fans all around the world, we are delighted to have with us this evening, Super Kevin Lisby.
Welcome to the podcast, Kevin, and thanks for giving up your time. We really appreciate that. No, so we'll dive straight in, really, and just sort of starting, I suppose, really at the very beginning. What age were you when you first got into football?
I think I was a late bloomer. I think I was only 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think I was 14, 13. I didn't have dreams of being a professional footballer. I just got scouted while playing for my Sunday team, and it all happened a bit quickly. I was over at Hackney Marshes, a scout came over, asked me to go to Charlton. I did. They took me on and never looked back.
Wow. That's very quick, because a lot of people usually sort of play in a lot of youth sides, under 7s, under 8s, under 10s, that sort of stuff, but you went straight in.
Yeah, I mean,
as a teenage lad.
I've got my boys down Orient now, and I still find it strange to see under 11s, under 10s, and under 7s. Being coached at such a young age, I had none of that, and I think it helped me because I was allowed to express myself and I had a decent career.
But you had a natural ability, obviously, hence why what they saw.
Yeah, I think kids, generally some kids start a bit late, and I think I was a late starter. Quite glad I weren't in the system when I was quite young because I don't think I was technically the best when I was younger. But okay. As I got older and older, watching people play in that, I developed my skill and my raw ability and I went quite far.
Were you always a forward or did you start off at centre-back and then did the manager say, actually, I think you might be quite good up there?
No, as I say, because I started so late, I had a position. It wasn't a matter of moving me here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, at that age, I played my whole career up there. So that's where they played me. I played right wing a few times because obviously being a bit quick when I was younger. So, I was literally either a striker or a right winger.
Like the glory.
A bit like my sons, like the glory.
Absolutely.
So what players did you look up to then as a young lad? Obviously as a striker.
I was massive. I could say John Barnes.
I actually
played with him as well.
Which
was absolutely a dream for me, at Charlton. And my main one was probably Ian Wright. I used to watch his movement and that was unbelievable. So those two were my main striker. Yeah. Obviously Shearer, but
they're quite big idols to look up to as well.
Yeah, they were massive. I mean, I used to study their movement more than anything else. I don't know if kids do that nowadays, but I used to study the way they moved and that and how they created space for themselves, both of them, and tried to copy it. Don't think I got anywhere close to it, but I got close enough.
Fine. No, yeah. That's absolutely great. What I don't know if it's common knowledge amongst everybody, but how did the move to Orient come? We're going to fast forward a bit. I know you obviously did Charlton and you scored the brilliant hat-trick. Mm-hmm. I've got a Liverpool supporting colleague and he's still a bit gutted by that. but how did the move to Orient come about?
It was the strangest move ever. I mean, Orient came in for me when I was at Millwall at the end and obviously I got injured and I sort of, we spoke about contracts with Russell and they had a policy at that time that they only offered a certain amount of money and I weren't willing to accept it. So I said, no thanks, went in our separate ways. Obviously, 3 months later, couldn't get a club. So I got his number from my friend and I said, look, I know you've got your players, I know you've got strikers down there, but is it right if I just train down there? And he said, yeah, no problem. He set up a session for me, it was really good. He set up a session for me, he had 4 strikers. He said he didn't need a fifth. So I just went down there to train. I think they had a cup game, I can't remember, against Dagenham and Redbridge. I think it went to penalties. It was one of the longest penalty shoot ever, I think it was. And I think we got three injuries that day. I think Curitan got injured, Mooney got injured, and I think Tahui, all in one game. So, yeah, he called me the next day and said,
What are you doing?
Yeah, you gave your dad and the defenders a couple of quid, like, well done, boys.
It was the strangest thing ever. I mean, for three strikers to get injured in one game.
But John was never a fit.
Yeah, two and a half. Then, he called me the next day and just said, "Look, Kev, with our three of our strikers are injured, they're all short term, and that would you mind taking a 3-month contract?" And I said, "Yeah, no problem. On less money, by the way, than he offered me originally.
Wow, yeah.
Of course.
So, I signed a 3-month contract, and I mean, after two or three games, we sat down and he said, "Look, we're going to give you 18 months," and that was almost 4 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Never look back.
Yeah.
And what were your first impressions of the club? Obviously, you played like bigger clubs. Yeah. So what were your first impressions?
I mean, as I say, I've been at Colchester. So, I left Charlton to go to Colchester and was training at uni ground, which was quite a change. So yeah. I adapt quite easily. The lads were welcoming.
Yeah?
They were brilliant. I knew a few of the lads anyway through previous scouting and 12 Forbes and that. So they made me feel welcome. And I think at that point, they really needed me. I think they only had 2 points at that point, yeah. 2 or 3 points in the bottom of the table. So I think they were just glad to get another face. And so, yeah, it worked out well for both of us.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
It was great. So did they make you do an initiation song?
They tried to, but I think I was a bit too old for it, I think.
You avoided it?
Yeah, I think at the point of that season, I think I joined in September, I think it was, we had 3 points, so it wasn't a matter of like songs and that, it was a matter of just getting some points, and it was really serious and intense the time that I went there, because I think the club was sort of planning for League 2, because obviously 3 points in September is relegation form, and I think we were looking at League 2 and that, and obviously we went on a massive run. I think we didn't lose for 10, 12 games, so we sort of dragged ourselves out of it.
Do you remember your debut for the O's?
Yeah, funny, it was against Colchester. I remember it being against Colchester because I called him up before I went to Orient and said to them, I said, right, if I went down there, and they said they got enough strikers down there as well. So, yeah, I think we went there and I think we got a draw, I think. Coxie scored in the last minute. I remember Russell Stays talking to us on the pitch after and said, "Look, the league starts from there." We played really well that day.
Yeah.
And we went on, a 10-game unbeaten run that day, I think. So, yeah.
We got your first goal down as being away to Huddersfield in a 2-2 draw.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. I think it was a header. Scored a few headers, but yeah.
Super Kev header.
Yeah, I think it was I think it was to make it 2-1, I think. And then
that's it.
And then I think centre-back, what's his name again?
Ben Charlie
scored to make it 2-2.
Yeah.
But they say they were a good side at that point, and we done really well with again. I think our league sort of changed since that day because I thought we went on a decent run after.
Absolutely. So the 11/12 season, you played 37 games and scored 12 goals. We finished just above the relegation mark, having missed out on the playoffs last season. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
A completely contrasting season to the last. What recollections do you have of your debut season then?
I just remember it being all about getting away from relegation. I mean, it was a bit intense. We went on a really good run, I think, as I said before, 12 games, I think, unbeaten, or 10 games, unbeaten, one, I think, 6-7 of them. And then I think we got dragged back in it at the end. And I remember the second to last game of the season when we needed to win and other results got our way to stay up. And then I think we actually lost, I think, or we drew. But I think Wickham beat someone.
That was it, the Wickham one, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yes.
Alan Judge scored for Notts County in the 94th minute.
Yeah, they were 2-1 down, weren't they? And they won 3-2.
They won 3-2.
Yeah,
I remember. 4-3. It was something ridiculous, but we didn't deserve to stay up because Wickham had gone for that. Yeah. Hell for that. They'd gone for it, and we just didn't seem like
I remember, we went in the changing room, all the lads' heads were down, and I think Russell was in the middle of giving us a good hiding, I think, and he was telling us off, and then someone whispered in his ear that obviously Wickham won, and then his team talk just sort of changed, and you see a big smile.
Well done, lads.
Yeah, exactly. And then, to be fair, it was handshakes after that because it was a hard season.
There
was a lot of ups and downs, and to have, 3 points in late September, it was. I think everyone was fearing the worst, but it was literally just staying in the league and seeing what happened next season.
Yeah, it must be quite frustrating because although you weren't there at the time, we'd had a pretty good season previously. You know, we'd had Arsenal at home and the away leg. Yeah, so it was a pretty big season for us. So then, obviously, expectations were quite high for the supporters at the beginning. So it was obviously quite a shame all round. But glad we did stay up.
What when you say Russ was like kind of going on one. He seems like quite a placid guy, but I guess...
No, he can lose it. He can lose it. Proper lose it. Yeah, he's lost it a few times. And to be fair, we should have won that game as well.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to bring it down to the last game of the season. No one wanted to play the last game of the season in that predicament. And thank God to Wickham, we didn't have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was lucky that Judge scored for Notts County that helped keep us up. It was really quite lucky, actually. So, moving on then to the next season, you played 28 games, scored 16 goals, and we just missed out on the playoffs. What was that season like? Was there a sort of genuine feeling of overachievement, considering the previous season?
No, I mean, we as I say, we saw each season as a different season. The manager said, like, starting from fresh, we're going to go for it. Yeah. And we did, I think. We had a few bad results that let us down at some crucial times, I think. Mm. But, I mean, we were never in there, but we were always on the outside of getting in the playoffs. But as you say, after last season, it was the same team, so you sort of got the season before in your head.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, at the end, when we all sort of cleared the dust and we sat down, it was a good season. We thought to ourselves, you know what, it's an improvement. And I think that's all you can do at a club at Orange. You try and improve every year.
Yeah.
And then obviously we thought to ourselves, all right, and we've done this, we've just missed that. So when we come back next season, we'll give it a good go.
Go again. Yeah. My recollection is that I think we, although we finished seventh, it's not like we were fighting for sixth. Yes. I think we surged to seventh and ended up quite strong.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, as I said, we were never really in it, but... I mean, it was all about improvement, and I think we fought so hard not to be in that position. I think the lads came back and thought, look, we're not going to get ourselves in that position again.
Yeah.
And we made sure that we gave it 110% every single game, and we, bar a few injuries in that, we done well.
And during that season, Sheffield United come in for you?
Yeah.
Had a bit accepted?
Yeah, they came in halfway through in January. Yeah. They gave me a good deal, to be fair, but it was only for... half a season. I think they just wanted me to help them get promoted and help the club at that point, but I had to think more long term and being at my boyhood club, and I spoke to Russell and he spoke to the chairman and they said, look, if you stay here, we'll give you another year. It was a no brainer for me and my family down here, and
absolutely.
Even though Sheffield United is a massive club, it would have been nice to get to a massive club again, but as you said, it turned out we were actually bigger than them at that point. So we had a better season. Better. Yeah, we were doing better. So, I mean, as you said, we had a good season. That year was really good. I didn't want to leave the lads in the ditch. And obviously it helped getting another contract as well. Mm. I think as you get older, you sort of you're looking for years rather than months. And I think they were only willing to offer me a contract to a certain amount of time, which wouldn't have been... good for me at that time.
Yeah, it would have meant leaving your family and moving away and being away for long periods.
I was actually on my way up there as well, because I think I was actually on my way to Sheffield to sign it, and Russell obviously called me back and said, look, the chairman said, he'll give you something if you want. So just span the car around and...
Yeah. No-brainer. Like you said, yeah.
What was Hearn like as a chairman? Like
He's a true man. Like,
yeah.
You could see he came from a good humbling beginning, because he appreciated everything he had, and you worked hard for him, and he would reward you.
Absolutely.
And I think that was the main thing, you give your all. And he sort of gave his all. I mean, he's been giving his all for that club for 18 years. So
yeah.
He was one of those, he had good people around him and he appreciated it.
He seemed quite hands-on. Like, he seemed like he was really kind. Some chairman kind of take a step back and go, right, you can deal with this. But he seemed like he was really wanting to be involved. And...
Yeah, I remember the speech he made on the beginning of that season. I think it was a playoff season. I think he came in and he had a list of all the positives about players. He sat us down and he went one by one, all the players, about what our good assets are and how we can affect the team. And it was quite a touching thing to hear the chairman say that. Yeah.
In fact, he'd sat down and thought about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, he would have probably had to sit down and think about it as well, because he made
no, I didn't mean it like that. But
Yeah, exactly.
Cracking my brain here.
Could have took him a bit of while to get something from me. He's a good man.
Brilliant. So we move on to the 2013-14 season, the best season I think in my 25 years, or our 25 years of supporting. You played 39 games, scored 16 goals. As I say, probably the best in living memory, as far as I could tell. Aside from the fact that when we got automatic promotion, what was the feeling like pre-season to that? Because we started that season, we went on an unbeaten run. Was it a different feeling that pre-season to previous pre-seasons, or is it all the same and
it was the same as the season before, I think. Not the first one, obviously I weren't there. We came in and we thought, look, I remember the guy on about the manager not winning I don't think Russell's ever won the first game of the season.
That's
or something
right,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was going on about that all pre-season. He was like, look, give you all that, like, please, like, and he got us ready. And all we was thinking about is winning the first game of the season for the manager. And I think that says a lot about him. The fact that we wanted to change his record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we went to Carlisle. And we actually spanked him.
5-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were unbelievable that day.
Played them off the park. Yeah. It looked like a training match
on
the highlight.
Yeah, we were really good.
I think you scored the first. It was a long throw. You just kind of nipped in.
Yeah.
Got your head on it.
Yeah, we were ready. I mean, we had a good pre-season, as I say, but we were ready and we didn't want to... I think we went into games not wanting to lose them, but because the quality we had, we ended up winning them. And that's how we approached games. We said, look, we're going to keep solid. And we got four people that could score goals, and I think that's what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess for you as a forward as well, you've obviously got... Because that season was pretty consistent, wasn't it? It was you, Moons, Cox, and Mo. I guess as a centre forward, you've got Mo on one wing, who can just beat men like that.
Amazing.
And you've got Cox on the other, who... isn't as fast as me, but you can just put a ball literally where you want it. For you, it must have been...
Yeah, well, I think if you look at all my goals, probably all of them, I'd say probably 95% of them, it came from them three, Mooney, Coxie and Mo. I would have thought Coxie would have been more than any others, but I think Mo was sort of... he was a ball carrier. He got us up the pitch. And then once he got us up there, I think, as you say...
Dragged everyone else with him.
Yeah, right? And then Coxie's up there, and in and around the box, Coxie's one of the best players I've played with. Like, he can pick a pass and... And Moons was unbelievable that season with his assist and his goals and his energy. And I say, with us four, I think we was on fire at that time. And you even had bats to it. You scored 9 goals as well.
Yeah, his contributions all over the field.
Of course it was.
I think Romain scored quite a few as well.
I think got 3 or 4.
Lloyd James.
Lloyd's got a few.
Got a few as well.
Yeah, it was just...
It wasn't just reliant on the same, was it?
Yeah, no. Throughout the whole midfield, from the wings, from the centre.
Yeah.
I think Matthew Baldry had a couple of headers.
Scotty scored a few as well.
Yeah, it was just incredible.
Yeah, for some reason it all clicked. I mean, it started off that Carlisle game.
Yeah.
I remember Clarkey going down with a head injury.
That was right, forward got sent off. Yeah. He got straight ready. Yeah. Gave me on elbow.
And I remember looking at him and he looked like he was in pain, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, he looks like he's dead. Like, but I think that got us together as well, because at half time we sort of got together and we actually realised we're much more than just teammates. Like, we were actually friends that played together for a long while. And
that's what it looked like to me as well.
I think that like a group of mates. I think that really reflected as well on the pitch. Like, when you scored, you were all just boom on it, like, to go and congratulate you.
Yeah, and I think I thought that game sort of set our season up. I think it was like, it's a bunch of friends playing together now.
Yeah,
and I think it showed.
And obviously, you played together for a few years, so you knew Mooney's game. Yeah. You knew where Mooney was going, he knew where you were going, you know, where Cox would pull it.
We knew each other, and I think that's why it's important, I think, to get a steady team together, and if you can, play the core of your team.
Absolutely.
You called this just before. There's a great, quite iconic picture, I'd say, of everyone jumping, I think, on you
by
the North Stand.
For me, Port Vale was one of the turning points, because... with old Orient, an older Orient team, they would have settled for the 2-2 draw.
Mm.
And we kind of, when they equalised, we went 1-1, made it 2-1, Mooney got 2 goals, they equalised. And normally the heads would have gone down, but I remember the ball fell to you in the last minute, we sit in the south. I remember it fell to you, and you just smacked it in.
Yeah.
And everyone was going mental, and then you all just bombarded, didn't you, straight into that North Stand.
Well, I know it's probably one of the questions, but for me, that was my best goal since I've been here. Just as you say, we could have settled for the 2-2, and you could look at the disappointment in the lad's face. Was like, get the ball, we're going to go and win this game. Didn't need to win it was so early in the season.
Yeah.
I don't know why was do you know what I mean,
what the rush was.
I don't know if that was the game that obviously broke the record, or it was the same as the record, but I remember the lads feel like we can't draw this game, like, which is absolutely ridiculous to think that you can't draw a game.
Yeah.
And we really went for it, and that was massive. I mean, I look back at that clip as well. I've got a video of that, and it gives goosebumps to me every time to see the lads so happy, and it weren't just because I scored. It was a team thing. I mean, as you said, we were all together.
Yeah.
And I think for 1 minute we actually forgot that someone actually scored a goal. It was just like celebrating. It was like out in the club, innit? Like,
yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's one of my best memories, to be fair.
Oh, amazing. That was one of our questions, actually. Yeah. What's your favourite goal? So yeah. That ticks that one off. So yeah. We had loads of people asking, what's your favourite goal?
Yeah.
So, Port Vale at home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then obviously throughout that season, you played against former teams. So you played against Colchester. Mm-hmm. You scored against Colchester mm-hmm. as well. What's that like when you go back to the match? Is it weird?
You know, the goal the season when we beat them, I think we beat them 2-1, was it?
Beat them 2-1 away, you scored the header down there.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I've always said I wasn't going to celebrate against them and Gillingham and that, but that Colchester game, I think, as another game, I think we played like 4 games within 10 days or something like that, and the lads were absolutely off their feet.
Yeah.
And I remember Russell just saying, look, give it one more push, then we got a Saturday game, and the lads were off their feet, and to score in the last, I think 10 minutes, I think I scored.
Yeah, yeah.
I celebrated. I've always had in my head not to celebrate, but that feeling of actually getting through that period with that winning feeling again, and obviously I think that was a part of our 10 game winning streak or 9 game, whatever it was. Yeah. That was massive for me as well, and I apologise for celebrating, but I had to. Yeah.
And obviously you just mentioned Gillingham. Mm-hmm. That season, I remember when we played Gillingham at home, that first half was
Yeah, it was 4 goals.
That was unreal.
Yeah.
You got a head, I'm open up on your head. Yeah. And you made it 3-0, and then they kicked off after it was 3-0.
We nicked it from them, didn't we?
Nicked it, played you in, and then you just squared it to Mooney, and they really tapped it in. I remember their fans like all running down running down their stand and just going mental. Yeah.
That was one of our best games. I think we played unbelievable.
One of our most complete games.
Yeah. I think we got a goal where we had 26 passes or something like that. I think it was
that one finished. That's probably one of the best games of football I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Everyone had 26 passes.
I think that set ourselves for the playoffs. I think it was almost like, you know what, we're in the playoffs, forget second place, let's go into the playoffs with a good mentality, and I think we did.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously that season you played up front with Mooney. Like Mooney gets a lot of stick, I think, quite unfairly. Yeah. What's he like to play with as a strike partner?
When he's on form, he's probably one of the... I would actually say he's one of the better strikers I've ever played with. Like, he's, even in training, he's unbelievable. Like, when he gets into that hole, when he's on form, he's unbelievable. I think he's unplayable because he gets in that hole where you can't tackle him. Obviously he's a confidence player, he likes to play with certain people and that, but for him to come back from the position, when I first got to that club, I think he scored 1 or 2 goals, and the season after I think he scored 8 or 9, but I think 7 of them were in the cup, I think.
Okay.
And to turn up in that season and score 21 goals after, as you say, the fans, the stick, the songs they had for him and all that, for him to turn up and score 21 goals says a lot about him.
So
I think he deserves all the credit. I know he's a sort of player that sometimes
he's Marmite, isn't he?
Yeah.
To the fans.
Yeah.
They get to see what goes on.
Exactly. He's one of them players that fans either love or hate, innit? And I think he sort of turned everyone around. I think he turned him around and turned back around and turned him around. from the position he was when I first got at the club to where he ended that season, he deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah.
I think he's quite a special player for me because he can get the ball from 30 yards. And you can always see what's going through his mind.
His passing is unbelievable as well. Yeah. He's a bit similar to Coxie, as in when he's on form, he can find a pass from anywhere.
Yeah. Well, we asked for a few questions on Twitter, and a certain Dean Cox has got a few for you.
I bet he has.
It's a question and a couple of comments.
Yeah.
But with Dave, with Moons, from what we see sitting in the stand, when he's got time on his hands, when he's got too much time, he ends up inadvertently making the wrong decision or fluffing it.
Yeah.
But when he's literally just got to think and do something,
I mean,
every single time.
His goals were unbelievable last season. You look at some of his finishes, they're unbelievable. I mean, Swindon.
He's got a beautiful Swindon. It's Port Vale volley.
Yeah.
Which he took first time.
There's some goals.
Peterborough away, 2 goals.
Yeah. He's a strong lad as well. I know you don't see him, but he's a very strong lad as well. So, yeah, I mean, as I say, he was a perfect striker for me because I like to play up front by myself. And, for the whole of last season, I pretty much did.
Yeah.
Moons was just drifting, doing what he wanted. And He allowed me to play my game, and I like to think I allowed him to play his.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. Mm. Absolutely. So we finished that season third in the league, like you said, got in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and then we had Peterborough, first leg away, second leg at home. What do you remember about the playoff matches?
I just remember thinking it's not about goals for me. I just remember thinking like it's just about winning these games, just doing what you can for the team. And Russell said to me, look, Kev, it's, like, obviously I've got 18 goals at any other striker would probably think, I know I'm at that age now where I just wanted to win. If you're 26, you want to be the one to score the goals and you want to be getting home. I just remember thinking I'm going to do what I can for the team to get us to Wembley. And I thought I did my part. And obviously with the squad that we had, I think Bats and Dags made a major contribution as well. Mm. And as you say, it was all about the team getting to Wembley and everyone contributing. And I think that's what we did.
I mean, that night at Brisbane Road, obviously, we drew one all ways. Mo scored a rebound from a bat shot on Mooney Shaw, and then we beat him 2-1. I mean, that night, the fat full time whistle. Pitch.
Yeah. I mean, euphoric? Yeah, it was unbelievable. I say, one of my best moments is up there because the same with Orion. I remember running on the pitch, running around, all of a sudden seeing my family on the pitch. So, it was good to do all that with my family, which you probably couldn't do if you're playing up north or if you're. I had probably about 20 people there that are friends and families and that. So it was a great moment for me and the club as well.
As a player, like, can you pinpoint? Can you see them? Like, so obviously you know where your family.
I know where
you exactly know where they are.
I knew where they were, but they were on the pitch by the time
you got up to the gallery.
No, they were on the pitch. When we was on the pitch hugging each other, all of a sudden they came from nowhere, so they was on the pitch, and that was nice. And obviously in the gallery, you could see, I could see my family from a mile away. Yeah,
wow,
that
was
brilliant.
That was enough for us. Yeah.
So, we've beaten Peterborough, and now we're talking about the week leading up to Wembley. Mm. What's that like? Did Russell try to keep it as normal, keep your feet on the ground as much as possible? Or did he allow you to get taken away by the excitement of playing at Wembley?
For me, I went with the team as much as I should have. No one knew that I had an injection in my knee because that game against Peterborough. I done my knee and I couldn't even walk for 2 days. So wow. I had to have an injection in my knee and I thought I was going to miss it and that. And thank God it all went well and that. But I mean, I only trained 2 or 3 days before Wembley. But just being around the lads and that, I think the first 2 days you sort of... enjoying the moment. We all went out after the Peter game and sort of you got to let it go as soon as you can, quickly as you can, and Russell tried to make it as normal as possible. We went there in our tracksuits and the build up was pretty much like a game, and we stopped talking about it together as a unit for a long while. You might have gone home and speak to your family and that, and sorting out tickets took probably about 2 weeks as well for the family and that. But we tried to make it as normal as possible, but I mean, the sun is summer day, it's hot. Everyone's thinking, everyone's
scorched.
Everyone's gone home. Everyone's season's ends, and all footballers that are finished their season sort of wanted Orient to do well, and you're getting calls from everyone, so you can't sort of forget it. But you try to, and I don't think I slept properly for about 6 days before that. But yeah, it was a great experience.
In the actual match itself. Mm. The first half was like a dream, I guess,
I was trying not to let myself get carried away.
Because
of Revel.
Yeah, I might start tearing up here. But it was as you say, it was an absolute dream. It was an absolute dream. And you just think to yourself, second half, you think you go out and you don't want them to score an early goal.
No.
Listen to me, 2-0 is probably, in a game like that, they had nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
If they get the first goal, then they're more than likely going to get the second. And obviously,
did Russell say something like that?
No, not really.
Don't let them score it. Let's hold on.
Yeah, I don't think he needed to. We had enough senior pros to know. I think it's more of to go out in and do the same thing. I don't think you can change your game, and we tried to go out there and do the same, but obviously you can't. It's too late for a mistake. I think Jonesy, he was brilliant for us all season. Came out and he probably should have stayed on his line. Yeah. And that's all they needed, I think. That's all they needed.
That gave momentum and then Revel scored that wonder goal.
Yeah, and then you can't do nothing about the second goal either. And then you're at 2-2, and I still thought after 2-2 we were the better team. And I thought they was hanging on. I thought they hung right on to the end, and I just say the team that goes up deserves to go up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. At 2-0, you'd think they'd have the impetus. But we battered them. I think Mooney just...
Clark had a header.
Clark had a header.
But Dags had a chance at the end as well. So I think, I mean, when you sit there and you analyse it, you think, you know what, the team that went up deserves to go up.
Fair play to them. They stayed up, didn't they? You
know, exactly.
They done well. And they've stayed up.
Yeah, so it's hard to think, but it's life, isn't it?
Then I guess you were subbed, so you came off, didn't you?
Yeah.
I guess watching that penalty shootout, knowing you can't take one.
Like, I mean, when I came off, I still felt I had a lot more to contribute, but obviously my hamstring was really tight and it felt like it was about to go, but... To this day, you always feel, I mean, as footballers, as strikers, that if I stayed on, then the game might have been a bit different. It seemed to be back and forward more when I came off. Obviously, Dags is a different sort of striker.
Yes, yeah.
So it wasn't sustained pressure. It was more every now and then, he's a different sort of striker. But yeah, it's just disappointing that obviously I couldn't play the last half an hour.
And what did Russ say after the match?
No, I
guess it must be terrible, I guess. Especially if you get battered 4-0 in a playoff final, I guess you go, well, we got battered and walked away. But I guess, I don't know.
To lose it on a penalty.
Yeah, I think, to lose it on a penalty, not much you can say. Not much everyone wants to hear. It was more of a, we'll just see each other when we go back in. And it's nothing to be said.
Wow.
Yeah, so unbeknownst to us fans and maybe to the players as well, the new owner was in the stand at Wembley watching that, apparently, as well. So this is the point now where Barry decides, right, I found a guy I think who can take the club forward. How did Barry deal with that in regards to yourselves as players? Did he pop his head around the door and say bye? Or
I think, you think he came in and said bye to the lads, which was quite decent. I mean, didn't have to as a chairman. He came in and said,
excuse me.
He said, it's good work in Ross and that. And obviously, he's given the club to someone else, and that was pretty much it.
Absolutely.
Short, sharp, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So coming in through the door on the other side, then did Mr. Bichetti say, introduce himself? Has he ever.
Yeah, it was a brief introduction. Just obviously introduced himself, and that was it. I don't think it's anything to do with the club. He just sort of introduced himself, and that was it.
Fine, yeah. And then obviously early on the season, Russ leaves, take your job at Cardiff. How was it when he left? I guess he must have given quite an emotional goodbye. He seems like quite an emotional guy at times.
I mean, the way it ended, I don't think he had a chance to say goodbye to us as a group. I gave him a text, and I'm sure everyone else gave him a text and said thanks and that, but. Yeah, the way he sort of left, we didn't get to say our goodbyes properly, but it was a bit disappointing that he didn't. But as in football, I've been in there long enough to know that you don't always get to say goodbye to everyone.
Yeah, do you keep in touch with him now? Have you still got his number? Still text him? Or?
Yeah, I've probably got his second number now. I've probably changed his number now. But I've not spoken to him since he left. I said bye and that was it. We had a job to do.
Cool. So obviously last season a bit frustrating for you. You scored a few early goals. I remember one at Oldham away quite early in the season going well, and then you got quite a bad injury, didn't you?
Yeah, I done my shoulder against Bristol City. I felt that I thought that was a turning point in our season as well. I thought it would be. I thought we'd done really well against Bristol City. Me and Moon played up front. I think it was me.
0-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, 0-0. But I thought we battered them, and I thought we. That we would have done well, and obviously I'd done my shoulder, and then you sort of I was out for 4.5 months, and then the season sort of going by me. I'll be watching the lads not doing too well and the ups and downs, and it was a bit frustrating at that point.
Yeah.
How did that injury come about though? How did you do
it? I think it was Flick, is it? The centre back, Flint or
Aidan Flint.
Yeah, I think
Swindon?
I
went off.
No, not Flint. Then it was the other tall one that plays for Bristol City.
Oh, no, bit of a unit.
Yeah, well, okay. I went up for heading with him, put my hand on his shoulder, and then as I came down, he's so much taller than me. My arm sort of stuck in his shoulder, and it sort of just jarred out.
Right.
I had problems with my shoulder for a good few months. Last season, I think I'd done it a few times, but this one was needed an operation, which was quite disappointing at that time.
So obviously, over that time when you were injured, there was a few. Russ goes, and then Nuge is in, and then Mauro is in, and Fadio comes. Well, I guess as an injured player at that point, it must be quite frustrating, because I guess you just want to prove yourself and play for like a new manager.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as Nuge took over, you sort of think to yourself, I've known Nuge for a while, you want to help him, you want to help the team, and you want to help your teammates, and you can't. It's not even one of those that you can play through either. Like once you've told it's 3 or 4 months, it's 4 months before you can do anything with a shoulder injury. So, as you say, and then the other manager comes in, Merrill came in, and you think you want to help him, and yeah, you can't do nothing. It's frustrating because you obviously want to prove yourself, and you feel like you're a big part of the team, and you feel like you can make a difference, and you can't do anything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, very different. Is Nugent's methods different to Russell's? Is his sort of management style different? No, or is different. It just a continuation?
Yeah, it was a continuation, but as a man, he had different little ideas, but the core of his sessions and his mind thinking of the game was pretty much the same as Russell, but the way he handled the players were a bit different, but that doesn't take away from anything that he done this season. I think the team that we had, I think Russell would have struggled with that with the injuries. We had a few injuries and with a change of obviously the chairman and different staff coming in. I think it was a bit harsh for Nugent. I think he didn't have his number two. I think managers always like to have their number two, someone they can bounce off. And I don't think he had that. I don't think he had enough time as well. He tried his best. But as you can see from this season, it weren't just him. It was everyone that came in.
Yeah, I mean, some of the injuries, you just go...
Yeah,
how did they even come about?
Both keepers, Omo got injured quite badly. Literally everyone at some point had an injury, quite a bad one as well. Bat got injured pretty badly.
Lloyd James broke his leg.
Vince Alou.
At one point, we had a lot of injuries, and I think that didn't help anyone. That didn't help any or any of the managers there at that point.
Yeah, it was literally a different team together every single week.
Mm-hmm.
A different one because someone had done something in training or someone had done something in the game before. It's been quite. I've never known anything like it.
No, never have I.
Never known anything like it.
So Fabio comes in, first impressions, Fabio? There's that communication barrier, I guess, where he's trying to say hello.
I sort of kept myself to myself until I was fit enough to be involved in the squad, and I just wanted to keep my head down and get my rehab going and reintroduced ourselves. He said he knew me, and obviously he wanted me back and that. And I couldn't wait to play for him. And then obviously played the Oval game. I think Moons got injured on the day, and I think I only trained 2 days before that, being out for 4 months. And so on the team gym that I was starting.
I tell you, we had a big reaction off that. I remember that. Yeah. We won 3-0. When the team gets announced, we tweet it and say thoughts on the team. Yeah. And we had loads saying Super Kev back.
I remember coming back and a bit of an emotional day and then to score as well. And then got dropped the game after that. So, I mean, it was good to be back, and it was good to be back. But obviously, the lads were a lot fitter than me. But I would have liked to have continued playing into. Obviously, I couldn't do a job.
Did he tell you? Did he say why, or is it just?
No, just saw the team sheet and my name was as a sub, and a bit disappointing. But obviously, at that point, you just want the team to do well.
Absolutely.
Our reasoning of that sort of thing, because we've seen it a lot. Like Lloyd James came on after he broke his leg. He played against Gillingham for 90 minutes and then didn't play the next games, possibly out of desperation that we didn't have the bodies to put on the pitch, but potentially that he probably wouldn't have wanted to have put you on for that full game, would probably want to manage you back in. Is that generally how it works? You get managed back in?
Well,
you get 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, half.
It was a bit strange that I started that game.
Yeah.
I don't think the physio was too happy either, being out for 4 months and
going straight back
into the team. But I played 60 minutes. Thank God I got it through all right, and you sort of think, I played 60 minutes now, so gradually I'll get back to my fitness. And
that's right, because you scored and straight off one.
As soon as I scored off, he took me off, and then you sort of think, back in the team now, back to help. I mean, I don't think they won the away game for, I think, 6 games before that. The lads were going on about the away record was quite poor up until that. I think we had a spell where we won quite a few away games and then we didn't win for ages, and then I came back in and we done well, and then you sort of think you're back in and you sort of think, yeah, let's go, and then obviously you don't play the next game, and so you obviously, as you say, the barrier of trying to explain why you're not in the team, that you can't really do that because obviously the language barrier, so you're sort of just sitting down waiting for your chance again, and didn't come for a while.
I guess for someone like Rush, I guess that language barrier, I guess for someone like Rush, you can just go, and you got a better relationship. Yeah, why did you join? And you can kind of. Yeah, I guess if it's a new manager and
yeah, of course,
don't
yeah.
speak the language, you yeah. don't have that kind
and
of
over, what, I guess. It probably don't help the fact that it's on the day of the game as well. You know, I think you find players don't normally go up to the manager the day of a game and say, why did you drop me? So, you game of the day, you just want the lads to do well, quietly being disappointed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but yeah, at that point, we needed points, and I thought I was more disappointed in the fact that I couldn't help the lads get another 3 points, but... yeah, you sort of, I mean, being a senior pro, you just sit down and you wait for your turn again.
Mm. And obviously, Stephen is coming for your loan in the season. Did you ask for that loan move, or did they just say, Stephen, you've inquired, are you interested? How does that all come about?
Yeah, I think a few clubs called, I think, at that point, and Stephen were, I think they were up there at that point, and you just thought, look, I'll go and get 4 games. Nothing to do with not being involved in the squad anymore, but if me not being fit was a problem, I thought once I'd gone there and played a few games, I could come back and be involved in the team. But it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. You played 2 games?
Played 3 games.
You played 3?
Played 3 games. I got injured against this guy against Burton, I think it was. I twisted my ankle, rolled my ankle. And then you sort of think, well, you know, I mean, you're thinking about next season now.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to stay. They wanted me to continue to the playoffs and that, but I was injured for I think a week or 10 days with my ankle, and you sort of think, you know what, I just get myself right now for next season, and hopefully if I come back to Orient I could play some sort of part of keeping him up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fine, so that's why you came back.
Yeah, yeah.
And the loan ended. It was more your doing rather than
it was all my doing. Yeah,
Graham West's
decision. No, he wanted me to say, he said like he'd want me back just for the playoffs if that was alright. So he said like, Kev, we just leave the rest of the season, and if we get in the playoffs, you just come back and play for me. But I said to him, I don't really want to be doing, I don't just be training and all of a sudden going to the playoffs is quite intense, and then with muscle injuries and that, you never know, and then it sort of buggers me up for next season.
And as good as it would be to be in a playoff and help them get promoted.
Yeah, of course it is. There wasn't any guarantee that I was going to sign with them either. So if it's a thing where you think, well, if we go up, then I'm definitely going to get a contract, then you start looking at it a bit differently, but that wasn't guaranteed, so you sort of having to look at yourself
and protect yourself.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Ensure yourself for next season.
Absolutely.
So I was going to ask what Graham West is like. He's obviously a nice guy.
Yeah, listen.
I've got a misconception that he's not a nice guy.
Listen to me. When I went there, he's one of those. He's a bit like Russell. You either buy into the way they think or do things, or you don't. I mean, everyone knows about him now. You either like it or you don't. It was quite a change for me. I mean, I did have obviously the situation of Orient not speaking to the manager, obviously because of the barrier and that, but it was quite fresh and refreshing for me just to go to a manager and just to hear what he had to say. Absolutely. And what he wanted me to do and how he wanted me to approach it. And even on the training ground, you know what he wanted, and he had his ways, he was stuck in his ways. It was quite intense, the training and that, but I had no problem with it. I'm a fit lad, and I spoke to him a couple of times, 3 or 4 times after the loan ended, and he was really good about it, and he understood my situation, and that would definitely be an option if he wanted to do that next season as well.
So would you stay here and then just commute every day, or?
It's literally 35 minutes from my house.
Yeah, it's not far, it's just north London.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, just off the A10, so I'm literally around the corner from there, where we are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So then obviously you returned to Orient, like you said, you got injured, and then you didn't feature for like the last couple of games. Like, were you fit or not really?
When my loan ended, I was fit for the last, I think, four or five games. I was always fit when my loan ended. I was always fit. It was just a matter of not being selected at any point.
Wow. Wow.
This is just a shaking of the head now. So relegation, obviously it's not a positive thing, obviously, sorry to state the obvious, but how does it feel from a player's point of view? Is everyone as gutted as the fans are?
Yeah, listen to me, as I say, you've got players in there that have been there for 4 years, including myself. That's no longer just a football club. There's a few of us that actually care about this club. And I'm sure that the lads that are there that came in this season cared as well. So it's not a matter of obviously playing for money. If I know people think a lot of lads are on money, but I know a couple of lads that came in that are on decent contracts, and I know they cared about the club, and they were disappointed. And, I mean, I've spoken to most of the lads since and I mean, no one likes relegation on their resume. We don't come up, we don't turn up to games to lose games. No one did. And yeah, obviously the fans are, it's a lot, they're there for life. I know fans that have been there for 40, 50 years that I've spoken to. I've been, I mean, I grew up in Hackney and I was in Leighton myself, so I know how some of them feel. But yeah, I mean, no one likes relegation on their CV, and I think lads, maybe I speak from what I know, gave their all. Maybe weren't good enough. There was a lot of chopping and changing, and by the time it got consistent, it might have been a bit too late.
Absolutely, yeah, very interesting. What's gone wrong as far as the players are concerned? I mean, you sort of touched on it, I suppose, in the answer to that question. Can you pinpoint where, perhaps, other than injuries, obviously, or is that the be-all and end-all?
No, it's not. It can't be the be-all. We had a big enough squad to deal with it. But there's been bigger teams than us that have gone down.
Yeah.
And I think all I could say is probably consistency. Consistency, I think we had the worst home record that this club's ever had, this season.
Yeah, only 1-12.
So if you're looking at things like that, I think, I don't know what it is, I think, as you say, there were a lot of changes in that. I don't think we had the same side for more than 2 or 3 games, which was, that could have been injuries, and it could be people out of form, but that's never going to help. No matter what team you are, that's never going to help, and I think that had a major part to do with it. And sometimes so myself and Lloyd, you were a massive part of the team. Roman, you were a massive part of the team. You take that out, and I think we sort of relied on each other last season. I think we looked around and we knew what we was getting out of each other, and I think you take out us three and probably Mo and probably Jonesy, you're taking out six, 7 sometimes out of the team that was there last season.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know if the lads will agree with me, but I think sometimes you look at people, and I used to look in the, when we used to be in a circle before games, and look at each other and think, you know what, no matter what happens today, I've got 11 people with me that will give their all. And I know if I didn't score, I had 4 or 5 people that would. And it sort of takes the pressure off each other, and I think that's what we did. We sort of took the pressure off each other. And then maybe we weren't the same this year. As you say, you look around, you see different faces all the time. Every game is a different face, and you don't sort of develop relationships on the pitch, which we had last year. And that could be a massive part. But it's hard for me to say because I only played 5 games. So 5 or 6 games. So it's hard for me to say. It's not something we sit down and speak about. So I could only assume, like everyone else.
I think a massive part is losing Mo, because Mo was our last man back. We've been countered quite a few times. Yeah. We've conceded goals on the counter-attack a few times. And Mo was always our last man back.
Yeah.
And I used to love it when a player thought he could take Mo on, and knock it round him, not realise how fast Moses actually is. And from a standing point, and this guy's running, from a standing point, Mo would cane him.
Yeah.
I feel it was such a pleasure to watch.
It's similar with Vince Lowe as well. Someone trying to get around Vince Lowe, and Vince Lowe would be, well, you're faster than me, but...
You're not getting past me.
Yeah, we were, I think, a complete team at that point. I think we all knew our jobs, and I think we had different players for different positions. Me and Moons were different. Coxie was different to Mo.
Yeah.
Roman was different to James Clarkey, and Frenchie were different, and I think it just worked.
Everyone complimented
each other. One was a good passer, one was a good runner. Roman Lloydy, and then you got Moles quick. Coxie's good on the ball. Moons is good on the ball, and absolutely lightning up front.
Of course. What else would you say?
We did miss Mo, and I think any team that takes Mo out will miss him.
Absolutely.
So, it's been on social media, I'm sure you've probably seen it, you've sort of been in the supporters club and kind of said goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
When did you sort of realise, or when did you feel that you weren't going to be offered a new contract, or might not be, or because it's still up in the air at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, you sort of get a feeling when there's 5 games left, and... 2 of the strikers, I mean, Hendo got injured, and I think Vito got injured at one point, I think, and you're looking at 2 strikers left, and including myself, 3, and you're not in the squad, you sort of think your time up at the club. I thought I had a massive part to play in the season. I felt I could have helped them when you're not being picked. Any striker, any any player, when you're not being picked, you sort of, at the end of your contract, you sort of think, yeah, your time's up.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at it the way it is right now, it probably is time up for myself. So you say your goodbyes just in case you don't get to see anyone, because it's been 4 years I've spent here.
Yeah. So if they did offer you one, you'd have to go back and say hello, aren't
you? Yeah, well,
so
then, yeah.
I'd
have to give back the photograph and the
and the thing from the Star Man Awards. Can't take it under false pretense.
That's an empty bottle, though.
I find that absolutely baffling, like, the last four games. Because, like I said, like, when Lisby starts, he leads the line, and he gives, like, another dimension. And nothing against Dagnall, but Dagnall went through a period last couple of games of the season where he couldn't, as hard as he was working, he wasn't scoring. I guess as a forward, you might be thinking, right, this is my week now. Like, he's not scored.
He's not scored in a few games.
Surely I might get on the bench today and might be able to. Mental.
I felt that last season. I scored 18 goals overall, and I still felt if I don't score for two or three games, I'm gonna be dropped. And I think that always kept me on my toes. It was done a bit differently this year because, as you say, if you've got a striker who's not scoring in four or five games at the period we were at.
We're desperate. For the lack of chances.
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying you take him out of the team completely, but maybe he needed a rest. And I think
that, every week.
Needed just to step out a few games and
resting. Yeah. He's knackered at times. On his feet.
He gives his all, Dad.
Absolutely.
But he always gets the 90 minutes. And when he walks off, you just see him.
Blowing. Yeah. He's not blowing because he's unfit, because
he's worked so much effort in.
Yeah, and
it's admirable.
But as you say, every manager is different and they do things a little bit different than others. And you've got to respect your manager's decision to play Dags all the time, and you sort of sit there hoping that you get your chance and it didn't come.
Absolutely. So what next then? Is it kind of just wait and see what the club offer you, or if you get an offer?
You sort of you can't make calls yet because you don't know if you're going to be offered anything there. But I'd like to think sometime this week that we'll sit down with the manager and either give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down. And I think not just me, I think there's 8 or 9 people are still waiting. So, it'll be nice to know sooner or later. Then you can sort of clear your mind and you can do what you're doing.
You need to do.
Yeah, make calls. And it'd be nice to have known by now. But as you say, people do things differently.
And if not to be with the O's, look for another club. So I think you got
I'm a fit lad. As the years have gone by, Orion I seem to score more goals, which indicates that I'm getting younger or I'm taking care of myself better. But I'm not even close to thinking about retiring yet.
Good.
This season's been frustrating for me, and it's made me even realise even more that I'm not ready to retire, because you're sort of watching games and I still can't keep my feet still. So, I mean, watching a game and you think, I can't be asked to do it anymore, or it's not me, or my body can't do it no more. I'm not even close to being there yet.
Yeah.
You know what happens if you end up away from the O's and you end up at another League Two club, you sit a mile and come back and score a goal.
It seems to be the way, innit, but I pretend I'm injured.
Do you do you feel that you've got something to offer in League One?
As I say, I've played, 6 games this season. I think I've scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
The year before that, I scored 18 goals.
Goal-to-game ratio throughout your career is actually really, really good.
So
I looked at it earlier. Well, I did some rough calculations earlier. Your goal-to-game ratio is just over a goal every sort of 2 and a bit games, which is, for a striker, is usually, one in 3, 1 in 4. Yours is better than that.
Oh, I think my goal ratio is got up ever since I've got older, I think. You see, when you get older, you sort of start concentrating on scoring and helping the team and getting yourself in positions rather than making runs that will probably stop you from scoring goals. And now, I'd say when I was younger, I was a lot quicker, so I used to do all the off-the-ball running and that.
Yeah.
And now, I've got to concentrate on scoring goals, and as I say, I'm still a fit lad as well. I don't know how much games I played last season, 30-odd or whatever, but 39,
I think.
39, and I'm more than capable of playing League One. But as I say, you go where we've been off. I just want to play football.
And do you see yourself coaching one day? Is that part of the plan?
I've not thought about it, but definitely. I mean, as you say, one day hopefully come back to here and definitely be a part of it. I mean, Nuge has done it and he's done really well. So, that's always been something in the back of my mind.
You got your badges?
No,
not yet.
Like, can you not buy them?
Yeah, I've got some upstairs.
Well, you got some podcast bags upstairs. £2
I forget to buy
them. Who's had the biggest influence on your career, do you think, so far? Or generally?
Player-wise or just...
Anyone. Could be someone from your home life, could be someone from your professional life.
My mum was quite hands-on with me when I was young. She used to take me to games and play football with me in the back. She was a footballing person in my family. Nice. So, I'm desperate to do it for my mum. She deserved it because she used to take me around. We never used to have as much money as others. So, one pair of boots for the whole year and that. And she made sure that she gave me everything she could. She used to work hard to make sure that I was even close to people, as in clothes-wise and that. Anything that I get and is due to her, I think.
Wow. Very powerful. Mm-hmm. Yes, you get a lot. I think things have changed now with parents on the time on the touch lines and shouting, and it's almost
My mum, she never said a word. Quiet as a mice, and she used to let me go, and she used to just talk to me after the games and ask me how I was and that. I try and do the same with my kids, but I'm a little bit different.
I've got
my manager's hat on when they're playing. Yeah,
fine,
superb. So that wraps up part one of our Kevin Lisby interview. Join us soon for part number two.